I did that already, right? When we left.
No, you didn't do that part. We didn't talk about that part, Grandma.
We did too.
No, we didn't. We talked about the trenches.
Huh? Okay, now where do you want me to start? Why we left Burma? How we left Burma?
Yeah, start with how you left Burma. And maybe before that, even go into why you had to leave Burma, when you knew that you had to leave, and just start there and go through. It's my favorite story, Grandma. Come on.
The situation, the political situation in Burma changed. And by 1964, we know that we cannot stay on there because the government was nationalizing everything. I have a dress shop. Bobo had some factories like Coca-Cola and things like that, and the government started nationalizing everything, so foreign companies have to leave, so he was out of job, and I was afraid they might take over my dress shop, and we don't know what's going to happen. We know the schools are not, it wasn't closed yet, but we know sooner or later the schools would be closed, and what will the children do? We have two sons, and we have to think about the future, so... Bobo was worried about, he was helping some other people who were trying to get out or trying to work against the present government. So he was involved in so many ways politically. So we thought, you know, the best thing to do right now is to skip the country because we see that there's no future for our children. We believe that there won't be any future for us if we stay on there. So at first, Bobo would try to leave by himself. I said, you cannot leave by yourself. You can leave us, leave me and the two kids. What are we going to do? At that time, when they know that a family is trying to leave, they arrest you, put you in jail. And I was afraid they might, Bobo leaves, I'd be left alone and they'd put me in jail. What would the kids do? So we said the best thing is just to skip the country. At that time, before I started the shop, I was working for American, what do you call it, the U.S. Information Service. They have a library, and I work at the library. And things started crazy, like we were followed by, wherever we go, we know that somebody is following us. And
how did you know?
They don't, because you see a car following you. And then when you work for a foreign organization, they don't trust you. So we tried to go visit Auntie Than in a little town. We know that they're following us. And they also wait at our house. We live near the lake where people come and, you know, spend the weekends and afternoons and things there. But this little car was always in front of the house, pretending that his car, something is wrong with his car. Not once, not twice, almost every day. So, you know, why would he be there? So one day, Bobo would stop and ask him, what are you doing? Why your car is always, something's always wrong with your car in front of our house? Then the guy didn't know what to say. Then he said, I'm sorry to let you know that I was asked to watch you guys, what you're doing, how you're going, where you're going, you know. So that's my job. So I have to do what I was asked to do. So then we knew, you know, he admitted it. So wherever we go, we see him following us. And we try to, once or twice, we try to dodge him. But he's always show up somehow or the other would show up. So one day we said, we cannot go together. He's going to, you know, we cannot get away if we go together, so we just have to split and each one go its own way, then meet somewhere. So one day he thought we'd try to dodge him. We know that he's following Bobo, not me, but you know, I can't stay behind. Usually when the husband is arrested, the wife gets arrested too. So, you know, so we have to do something. We can't leave the children behind either. There's no future for them. So He went somewhere. I took my two kids, David and Lester. My father was sick at that time, and he went up to Shan State Taungji. Before we left, we wanted to see him, so we went up to visit him. but we can't tell anyone that we are skipping town. So we just went to visit him. I went, took a train and took the two kids to visit the grandfather. And then we came back. We stayed there a few days and we came back. And then Bobo's met us somewhere. And then we came out together. We had to take a, we took the train, yeah, all the way to Maulmain. And from there, we met a lot of people. They kept asking, where are you guys going? School is almost, you know, opening for the kids. Where were you going? Oh, we're just going for a visit. We'd be back. And then from Maulmain, we had to rent a jeep to take up right to the border. There's a little town called No Man's Land, and you meet all kinds of people. And a lot of, in Burma, we have a lot of Indians come across from India to do menial jobs like fixing roads and all those hard jobs. They were there too. They all foreigners have left the country. So all the Indians are leaving. So we got there at the same time as all these Indian workers. And we have to wait for our transportation to get out of No Man's Land. Sometimes there are government troops there. They have the Karen insurgents troops there, Indians coolie there. Nobody knows who is who, but it's just a place where everybody meets and talk and each one go on their own way. But we have to look for transportation to take us to Thailand. So we have to look for a boat. The only way is to take a boat. So we found a guy, somebody told us to go to that house where he takes people down the stream, but said, oh, with women and little kids, I don't want to risk it. It's very dangerous. And we have to keep begging him to take us, the two boys, myself and Bobo. Then finally they agreed. So early in the morning, we went to his place. And then as we went down the stream, it was rainy season and the stream was very dangerous. There's so many rapids and so many whirlpools and they have to stop so many times. Sometimes it's not so deep, so these two guys were there. One would get down, tie the rope around his waist, and slowly, slowly, they stop the engine. They run on the little engine. They stop the engine, slowly, slowly let the boat down. And especially when we get to the rapids, we have to get out of the boat and walk. Then those guys will just take the boat slowly. With a long rope, they let the boat go down the stream until we pass all the rapids and we get back on the boat again, doing that several times. It was getting dark. The whirlpool, I think, hit the rock, and they said they cannot stop there, so we have to go further on. By the time we got to that place where we can get off, it was getting dark. They said they can't go down with the boat because they're not sure what's wrong with the boat. So they got off, we all got off, and they move a trunk, and the boat sank. So they pulled the boat up, and they said they docked the boat on the sandbank, and we have to stay there. They said, we don't know how long it's going to take. We cannot use the boat now. They'll have to do something to fix the boat. So the two of them left us there, said, just be careful. There's so many animals around here, and especially at night, they're tigers and things like that. So what can we do? There's nothing. We have no guns or anything, no weapons, just a big torchlight that we could light it. The two boys were so all excited. To them, it's really like an adventure to them. But here we are so afraid something might happen. We have no guns. We cannot carry anything. So we have nothing to defend ourselves. Just sat there and pray and have the torchlight. Thankfully, nothing happened. We waited for, I think, 2 hours. All the big elephant fly, those big flies. Oh, it stings you so badly. It hurts so bad. We have to keep knocking all those bugs out from our body that stings, and we're bleeding. The kids were, they were enjoying themselves, though. They're enjoying themselves at the same time. They're scared, too. We don't know what's going to happen. Then finally the two guys came back just with two planks of wood. What are they going to do with two planks? There's a big hole on the boat. And they sat down, they brought that, sat down, used their knife, measured the big hole there, and they slowly, slowly trimming the plank exactly to fit into the boat. There, the mud is like clay. It's very sticky. They use the mud to, they put the wood in and then use the mud to, what do, to glue the wood onto the boat. Then finally said, they tried it for a while and they came back and said, okay, I think it's safe. We can get it in now. So we don't have a long ways to go. So we got in, and after an hour or two, I think they stopped. They said, yeah, you have to get out here. So where? We don't know. This right in the deep jungle. We don't know anyone. We don't see anyone. He said, we take you. There's a little house there. People may not be there, but you can go in and wait for them to come back. Usually they go out early in the morning to work on the fields and come back late in the evening. So they said, oh, that's the way they work there. So, you know, we just have to trust them and go along with them. So when we got to the house, they are built on stilt. You have to climb up the stairs, and then they pull the stairs up. I said, why? Because we have animals here. We cannot, you know, leave the stairs for the animals to climb up. You have tigers and things like that. So just stay up there. Don't come down. And they said, just help yourself. Whatever food you have, we have canned goods. We took canned goods. We started heating them up for the kids to eat. Waited until it's dark and we hear people coming. They saw us. They said, they got scared. They didn't know who these people were. They said, and then we explained to them what we were doing there. Oh, then said, welcome, welcome. And then they took out all the whatever food they have and asked us to help ourselves. And they said, we can stay there as long as we needed to. We said, we don't know how long we'd be here, but we're trying to go to Thailand. Then we went to another place. There are no houses, just trees and tall trees. You can hardly see the sky. It's so dark. It's a rainy season. We saw a little hut there. They said, oh, you can stay in that hut. Those people said, just stay there. Who does this belong to? We don't know. People come and people stay and leave. So you just stay there with the kids. But Bobo has to leave to find the way to get to the Thai border. And we have somebody, they said they'd send somebody that can take us there, to take Bobo there. So, but we have to stay back. Myself and the two kids, right in the deep jungle. I said, don't worry, you just keep the door closed. Don't go outside. There are tigers, wolves, and things like that. But so what can we do? There's no choice. So we said, okay. But the kids brought a lot of comic books to read just to keep busy, and drawing books and things like that. And we stayed there. So Bobo went alone, went with a guide. And he said he'd get in touch with us as soon as he gets to the border, see what the situation is like. Then after a day or two, I think, somebody came and said, no, you cannot go. We have to wait till the water goes down with it, when the elephants can go. Right now we can't. So we waited and waited. There's no more food to eat. So the kids were hungry. We didn't know what to do. We saw some rice in a pot in their house. So we tried to cook the rice. But what are we going to eat the rice with? Look around the big rocks. I know it's salt, so we have to pound it to be able to eat with the rice. Oh, there's some wild chili pepper plants around there. So the kids picked up those little chili pepper and pounded with the salt. They've never had that before, so they want to try it. So that's all we can eat. All the canned goods that we brought along, we left some, we ate some, and there's hardly anything left. For a week, we've been eating salt and sand and hot pepper. That's all. It's rainy season, so to cook the rice, you have to get the water from the stream, and it's all full of sand. There's nothing you can do about it. You either chew it or just swallow it. For 7 days, we don't know what to do. Oh, one day somebody came. A guy was fishing, and he brought a little fish for the kids. He made a little fire and roasted the fish and gave it to the kids. And the kids are quite happy. They had something to eat. And then after that, we don't see anybody anymore. Just raining nonstop. The place was so dark. You can't hardly see the sky. The trees were so thick there. But we have to be careful of leeches. Oh my goodness, leeches. You can't go down. All the leeches will climb up your legs and suck all your blood. They become big, you know, they swell up and can't chew anymore, so dropped off like that. And it drops from the trees, drop from everywhere along the roads. Then one day we heard some people, some guys coming, said, anybody here? We have elephants for you guys to go. So we had to take two elephants, one to take all our luggage. They have just have a little wicker, like a basket. We sat in there, the two kids and myself, but our clothes and stuff were in another elephant following us. I think we left early in the morning and all day. We didn't get there until late at night. So we met Bobo there, and he was at the border. He found a place where that one lady lives there, and he said, you can come and stay here. When your kids come, bring them here. And she said, like, she does moonshine, and all the guys come and drink there at night, in the evening after work. We stayed there for a long time, waiting for any truck. At that area, they have a mine. They come and dig lead. So we have to wait about 10 days, I think, there. But at least there we get corn and little fresh fruits and things like that. They have so many farmers there. You don't see anybody, though, just the fields. So we waited, stay a few more days. And one day, she's so used to it. She's been staying there for so long. She left Burma, too. She couldn't stand the government there, so she came with her husband. I think the husband had malaria and passed away, and she was there by herself. She has her own revolver. She has a gun. She has just to protect herself. And then early in the morning, she woke us up. She said, listen, listen, this. You can hear a truck coming. So if you can get a ride with them, that's the only way you can get to Thailand. So the old lady said, follow the truck, go get the truck and tell them you have people here that want to go with them, back with them to Thailand. So, of course, he had to walk, listen for the sound of the truck and follow the sound. But be ready. They come early in the morning. They leave early in the morning. When they got there, we have nothing to carry, just a few clothes. We got on the truck right in the jungle. It was rainy and the roads were all slippery, and the car slid it into a ditch, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't start. They have to get down, wrap the road around the tree to pull the truck out of the ditch. So instead of the car, the tree came down, so they had to start. They have to look for a big tree that they can, you know, pull the car out of the ditch. We did that two or three times, I think, and the truck had no roof, and we have all kinds of bugs falling on us and biting us. And mosquito, that area is very, very famous for malaria. We get huge mosquitoes. We have leeches falling on from the trees. We have spider. We have, the kids, especially Lester, just fussing along the way. along the way, they're, what do you call it, where the guards are there. You have to stop. Yeah, checkpoint. And they stop. And they look. Who are these people? Oh, just some families that wanted to go into the city. And we felt sorry for the kids. And okay. Thank God they didn't stop us. They didn't, you know, just two, three places we have to stop like that. But finally, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we got into Bangkok. Into Bangkok. And we don't know where you're going. We don't know. We don't know anybody. So the guy that came along with them, he's a police officer, but he was laid off from his job. But his wife works for immigration. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? The immigration found out about us. We're going to be arrested. But the guy said, don't worry, don't worry. I'll take you to my house. We've never met him before. We don't know him, but he was so willing to take us in. He said he felt sorry for the kids. He has kids of his own, and, you know, so he wants to help us. He said, never mind, you come and stay with us. And then when we got there, of course, 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody was asleep. So he woke up the kids, he woke up the wife where they're sleeping, and they asked us to go and sleep there. We felt so bad, but we were so tired, exhausted. We just went into there. They were sleeping on the floor with mattresses and all that, with a big mosquito net, and they let us sleep there. And they, I don't know where they went to sleep. Then in the morning, they said they have to report us to the authorities. And Bobo was ex-Navy officer, and he works for a foreign company. And the wife works for this person that took us in. His wife works for immigration. So I guess she has to report us too, but what can we do? We just prayed all the way. We said, God will take care of us. He followed us right into Bangkok now. So, you know, we left everything in God's hand. In the morning, the army officers there from the Navy, from the army, and immigration was there. Oh my God, they all come to arrest us. They came in big cars and, you know, with all the soldiers and all that. We said, uh-oh, they're taking us in. And then they interviewed Bobo. They talked to us. And then they saw the two kids. They said, oh, Bangkok is a big place. As long as you don't get yourself involved with the police, you're okay. But don't get into any, you know, accident, or don't cause any problem. Otherwise, you know, you'll have to go back to the border, stay in the border. And the kids won't be able to go to school or anything like that. So we don't know what to do. We prayed, and then they said, don't worry, you can just get lost. The army officer gave his name card. If there's any problem, just call me. So they have a little room there where they put their, they call like their worship room. They have their Buddha picture and a little candle with scented flowers or water. They go worship there every morning, and they allowed us to sleep there at night. It's such a tiny little room. But anyway, there's at least we have a place to sleep. Then we check around. Look, we can't, because the phone book is all in Thai too. And we tried to talk to them and said, we want to go to the city. And they said, okay, they'll take us. But we have a phone number we tried to call. We tried to get in touch with the mission head office in the center of Bangkok. Bobo's sister works for a mission too, so we know the mission people quite well. So Bobo said he'd go first, go to find out. And he left us, and he tried to take a bus. They told him where to go, which is called American Baptist Mission Headquarters. So he went. He got there. He got there, and he met this missionary. He's the head of that mission. So they talk and ask them about Bobo's sister. Her name is Nita. She and her husband took care of orphans from the jungle. They have a little boarding school for all these kids that have no parents, nowhere to go. So they have about quite a lot of 40 kids, I think, both girls and boys, way out in the jungle, another village, a big village called Messereng. So then Cecil Carter, Reverend Cecil Carter, said, oh, are you related to Nita? Yeah. Then, oh, he was very friendly. He tried to find out what we need. And then he said he would like to help us, and they'll do what they can. But we have no working papers, no passport. He doesn't know what to do. But we prayed, and then the missionaries met and discussed about us. And at that time, they need house parents. The house parents, they have leaving for furlough. They stay there 4 years, and they go back to the States. And they have these missionaries' kids. Their parents work out in the provinces, and they go to international school in Bangkok, and they have nowhere to live. So they have house parents, like they come 4 years and then they go back. Some will come back, some won't come back. this couple will come back, but they can't find anybody at that time. So they ask us whether we are willing to take over. So well, this is, we felt that God wanted us to work for the mission. So we said, okay, we do what we can. So they hired us and we moved to the hostel. We have 24 kids, both boys and girls, from fifth grade to high school. So we worked there for how many years? 4 years, a little over 4 years. And then we went to American Embassy and report to them that, you know, we are there. And I work for U.S. Information Service, and we have friends from the embassy that they knew Spencer, and they said, oh, what are you guys doing here? You can't stay here. You have to find some way to get to America. The kids can't go to school here. You have to, you know, they went to international school. After that, what are they going to do? When we left, we couldn't bring any papers because if this, we were stopped and searched, they'd find out that we'd trying to skip town, so we're afraid to do that. We cannot bring any money either. All our banks were closed. Nobody can draw money. So we cannot bring our passport or ID card because if we get searched, we're going to be in trouble. So we don't know how to get them, but somehow or the other, we were fortunate that when the missionaries had to leave the country and we have foreign companies, we tried to get in touch with them, and they agreed to bring our passport, our ID card, and things like that, so we could apply for our visa. But at that time, we cannot just come to the state just like that. We have to be able to get a job in the States. Somebody has to hire us. So the mission suggested that they needed somebody at the foreign mission office. They need somebody apart from America. So I can work there at the Foreign Mission Society. At that time, you have to apply for a job. Somebody has to give you a job. And then through the immigration, you have to go through all the papers and everything. But God opened a way and everything went well. And one of the missionaries saw us and she suggested to go to Pennsylvania, and she'd call a church to see if they will sponsor us, and they agreed to sponsor us. So that's how we got to Pennsylvania. We have cousins that live in California. They wanted us to go there. Their church also accepted us too, but this missionary said, oh, we take care of you. Come to our state, Pennsylvania. And 1969, we left for the States. That's it.